Okay, if you could take your seats, please. We'll see if we have a quorum. Ten. Yeah, okay. Everyone's on our way, so we definitely have a quorum.
We have now, I think, 11. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Okay. We are able to begin. We have a quorum. So thank you very much, and thank you for all of those of you that were here last night, and now you're here back. You're back here this morning. So I'd like to, first of all, see if is anyone that would like to testify. Each person would have 2 minutes. They should fill out the blue card located at the front, at the door, and there'll be RFFA testimony. Also note that there is also printed copies of the testimony can be put at the back. So is there anybody at this point that is ready to testify? Okay, we'll move on.
Still pretty early.
So just a couple updates. ODOT is a transportation planning unit is seeking our feedback from local official, elected officials, and other transportation stakeholders in an effort to evaluate local consultation practices regarding statewide transportation planning and programming processes. You should have received a survey distributed to MPO or Metro's policy boards, as well as members of the Area Commission on Transportation, statewide advisory committees, statewide policy planning committees, and local elected officials. So I assume that each person at this table has received that survey, and ODOT is asking that you complete it by December 30th. Does anybody know that? Think they haven't received that survey and would like to do so or get on that list? Okay, thank you. I'd also like to make note that we will be meeting on December 19th. There are several important items to discuss that day, and it will require a quorum, so if you are planning not to be there, we definitely need to know what your plans are, but we do plan to meet on Thursday, December 19th. So are there any updates from anybody at the table? Okay. So let's move on to the consent agenda. For resolution number 19-5046 for the purpose of adding or amending existing projects to the 2018-2021 Metropolitan Transportation Improvement Program involving 8 projects impacting Metro, ODOT, Portland, and Tigard. And then in addition, on the consent agenda are the considerations of the October 17th JPAC minutes. Just wanted to point out that project number 4 on the MTIP calls for a multimodal planning assessment activities of a replacement of Interstate 5 bridge between Oregon and Washington. And I've requested that there be an upcoming presentation to JPAC with the approval of this consent agenda.
Yeah, if you folks want a presentation, we are happy to oblige.
Thank you. That would really, really be helpful. Thank you. Appreciate it. So is there a motion to approve? Excuse me?
I said so moved.
Oh, thank you, Commissioner. Okay, so Commissioner Rogers moves to approve the consent agenda. Is there a second? Councillor Stacey seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on now to the discussion about the regional mobility policy. This is a work plan for this joint effort. This is a joint effort between Metro and ODOT, and it was introduced at the last JPAC meeting. So updating, this is an update about how the region will define mobility, and it will measure the success with the comprehensive set of shared values, goals, and desired outcomes that we would like for the regional transportation plan, the 2040 growth concept plan, as well as local and state goals. So staff are here today, Kim Ellis and Ledwin Raham, ODOT project manager, to review the work that they've been doing. So I
go ahead. I'll let you take it from here.
Okay.
Thank you, Kip.
Great. Thank you, Councilor Craddock. So today we are, Levine and I are here to request your approval of the work plan and the engagement plan that was included in your packet. We did give you an overview of that at your last meeting, and I'll just quickly highlight or remind you sort of where we are, where we're headed as we go forward. But in effect, your approval of this work plan will allow us to bring this forward to the Metro Council in early December for their approval, and then we'll be able to continue moving forward to do our project agreements between our two agencies, and as well as begin working to get a consultant on board to help do some of the work that's laid out in the work plan. Just as a reminder, this project is to update the policy for how we're defining and measuring mobility on our transportation system. Mobility currently is measured by using the volume to capacity ratio in the regional transportation plan, as well as the Oregon Highway Plan for state-owned facilities. And so an outcome of this process will be recommended amendments to both the regional transportation plan and the Oregon Highway Plan, which contains in Policy 1F a table of the policy that's specific to the Portland area. So the Portland area already has different standards and targets than other parts of the state. This is the timeline. We are looking to be able to complete this work by fall of 2021. And that time period is set out so that we would then, pending JPACT and the Metro Council's approval, be able to apply the new policy in the next update to the Regional Transportation Plan. We'll begin scoping that in 2021. It's due to be completed by 2023. So there's quite a bit of work. We will also be engaging the Oregon Transportation Commission throughout this work because of the implications to the Oregon Highway Plan, and you see that on this graphic as well as within the stakeholder engagement plan. So since May or April, really, we've been talking with a lot of different people, committees, also consulted with the Department of Land Conservation and Development staff. We conducted the series of stakeholder interviews that we mentioned at last month's meeting. In your packet, you'll see a scoping report that summarizes what we heard, key themes and suggestions for the process throughout those discussions, as well as the final stakeholder interview report, which I do encourage you to take a look at because there's a lot of really great feedback and input that we heard throughout the process. And recommendations for the process have been reflected in the work plan and the stakeholder engagement plan that is before you today. Some of the key takeaways from the interviews is that there really is broad support and enthusiasm for a new policy. There's a recognition that the current policy is either insufficient, in some cases not really working very well in terms of supporting decision making, and also a strong desire for this work to result in a more holistic, multiple measure mobility policy that is accounting for more than just vehicles or just congestion. And so that will be a key thing that we'll be working to do or accomplish as part of this. It's also really important that the new policy be not overly complex, that it be practical and legally defensible. We have a lot of desires for this, but it is, in the end, it needs to be legally defensible, and that's one thing that the current policy has stood the test of time in terms of being able to make that case. And that also that it needs to be context sensitive in terms of providing flexibility, recognizing that different parts of the region have different stages of development, they have different availability of travel options, and that the roadway function that it will apply to should also affect how that policy is applied. And then beyond the stakeholder interviews, we also heard from other discussions around the need to really be clear about what we mean by mobility, to really do some of the front-end work next year, to really build a common understanding of how it's currently being used. One thing that really was highlighted in our discussions that there's folks that are very familiar with how it is applied at a system level, others at a plan amendment level, others at project design, but there's a lot of a lack of understanding of areas that you're not working on a typical basis. And so it'll be important to really ground it in real case examples in the region, and so that'll be some of the work that we will be bringing back to you to help illustrate what the problems are, how it's currently being applied, as we begin to identify some potential new approaches and measures to use. It's also important that this work continue to advance our land use and transportation goals and lead to a well-managed and complete transportation system that's interconnected for all modes. We also heard really clearly that there are things that we will not be able to accomplish in this work, and so one of the pieces that has been identified is to make recommendations about future actions, local, regional, and state actions that may be needed to implement the new policy, and so that'll be a product that comes out of this for your consideration, and then also to provide guidance to our local partners in how they measure and balance the multiple policy objectives that we're trying to accomplish. Mobility is one of many goals that we have as a region, equity, climate, safety as well. And so how do we make decisions around mobility relative to some of those other policy outcomes? These are the measures that we shared at your last meeting that really rose to the top through the stakeholder interviews as well as the different discussions that we'll be using as a starting place, but this is not intended to be exhaustive. We are doing an exhaustive inventory of measures to be able to look at. In terms of the engagement strategy that's in your packet, we're really relying on existing committees and structures that are already in place and really using those to help on the technical work but also the policy discussion and to present options. So you'll be very central to this, as will the Metro Council, the Oregon Transportation Commission, but we'll also be relying on TPAC and MTAC, the county coordinating committees, as a way to really work with our local partners and devising a new approach, and then supplementing that with community leaders forums, consultation activities, particularly with Department of Land Conservation and Development Commission and Federal Highways. They will need to have a role in reviewing this as well, and then our more traditional comment period and public hearings at the end and other project website related activities. So here's the schedule for this year, as I said today, we're asking for your approval of the work plan and engagement plan in your packet, and with your approval we will then would bring that forward for the Metro Council for their consideration. I did brief the Metro Council on this earlier this month, and at that work session they did express their support for where the work plan and engagement plan have landed and indicated their support pending JPAC's approval. And then with that, we would then initiate our project agreements between ODOT and Metro, and then begin working in earnest to get a consultant on board next year. TPAC did review and comment on the work plan and engagement plan, and have recommended that JPAC approve it. So I'll open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. So what comments or questions do you have? Mr. Kelsey.
Just one under slide 8, top mobility measures to explore. I'm just curious, is there any way to sneak in there a target or one area to measure around the carbon reduction? Mm.
Yeah. Really important, yes. Thank you. Mayor Knapp.
Thank you. So the work plan references attachment 3 and 4. I'm looking at attachment 3, page 2, which is the Metro ODOT Regional Mobility Policy Update Work Plan. On page 2, under item 4, there's a whole list of considerations that are attached to the process as objectives. And I want to mention once again your slide 8 that you brought up there, Kim. Thank you. The system completeness and connectivity seems to me to have a very significant position, and I am a little worried about it getting overridden or kind of lost in the range of things. A great system that has the modes that you're considering on it is wonderful. If it only goes 9 blocks and stops because there's no connectivity, it's a waste. It doesn't accomplish anything. System completeness is absolutely overriding if you can't use the system to get where you need to go, to go to work, to go home, to go to school, to take your kids where you need to take them. I mean, the system completeness is the overriding function, in my view, of how well the system is usable and how robust the public will attempt to use it. So we have got to really keep in mind how to build systems that actually interconnect in a way that get us where we need to go. And whether or not all other components are optimized, people will use a system that connects, and we can keep working on optimizing everything. But optimizing first and having it unconnected and incomplete defeats the whole system, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, ped or bike or transit or, I mean, or roads. I mean, we have got to think clearly about the completeness and the connectivity kind of as an overarching theme to everything that we're trying to do, in my perspective. Thank you.
Good point. I agree.
Councillor Eccles.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Craddock. It's on. I'm just wondering, I know that it's perhaps understood, but maybe should be stated more clearly with exploring and making sure we're paying attention to equity and underserved communities. I think that should be listed in pretty much anything we do. That seems to be where a lot of the connectivity issues and service issues are.
Any other comments? Questions?
I have a comment. We've reviewed this before, and we've been part of the process going forward to create the work plan. And I'm just really pleased to see this move forward. The current mobility policy is, we've learned so much since the original policy or the current policy was created, and the world has changed. And I feel like the old policy is outdated, and it measures a limited number of criteria that doesn't result in a true picture of what's on the ground. And so moving forward with this is so valuable, and as valuable as that is the collaboration between the region and the state to create the new mobility policy. So when the process is complete, at least we're all measuring with the same ruler, which hasn't always been the case.
Good point. Thank you. Other comments? So there are two suggestions that we add, equity and, of course, measuring CO2. Kim, do you want to respond to that? Do you have any thoughts, comments about that?
Yeah, so the measures here, as I said, these aren't exhaustive, so that will be part of the menu of things that we'll bring forward. In terms of equity, we could add a more explicit objective or sub-objective under number 4. I don't want to try and wordsmith that right here on the spot, but if you can sort of give staff sort of permission to develop something that we can add this to what then goes forward to the Metro Council for consideration.
So you see CO2 reduction as an overarching goal then?
It is. And so it is an overarching in terms of supporting implementation of mm-hmm. our Climate Smart Strategy. Number 2 on page 2 of the work plan really highlights that. So it is intended, CO2 is not necessarily a measure of mobility per se. It is part of what we look at when we look at performance of the overall system for the transportation system.
Thank you. So does that meet your needs, Mr. Kelsey?
Not really. I think it's sometimes it becomes too abstract, and what gets measured gets done. I believe that we have a bit of a burden plan on our hands here. We've got 10 years to solve this. And we need one of the largest causes of emissions. And I'm concerned that it may get abstract as a broad goal without driving the behavior of the means. It's not who's using the roads, but how we're also using the roads. I think this gets to the how side of using the roads, not just not capacity, mm-hmm. really time savings. But I'm sure happy to default to the group as well. I just may not be here to default to the leadership unit.
So one suggestion would be under 4I, we could specifically call out, so it says consider system completeness and facility performance for all modes to serve planned land uses as well as potential financial, environmental, and community impacts. And we could put greenhouse gas emission impacts in there. Commissioner Councillor Eccles' comment, the last half of that sentence also says including impacts of the policy on traditionally underserved communities and public health. And whether that gets at...
I think similar to Doug, I'm afraid it's a little lost in there. I really would like to see it pulled out as a very specific...
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And there are other efforts happening at the state level to address climate change.
Sure.
So this one policy is not the only thing.
Even these are very directed mics. I can't hear him either.
There are other efforts happening at the state level to address climate change. So this is just one of the many initiatives that are happening.
Okay. Are there any other comments? I'd like to have a motion to that we support the plan to that Kim is moving forward, the work plan to the regional mobility policy. Is there a motion?
I move to approve the work plan and the engagement plan contained in attachments 3 and 4 of the regional mobility policy update work plan with the agreed upon amendments.
Thank you. Is there a second? Mayor Knapp, you're seconding?
You're making
a comment.
I'll second.
Okay. Mr. Water has seconded. Mayor Knapp, comments.
So does that mean that staff does not feel any additional wording as to completeness or priority is deserved in the work plan?
Mayor Knapp, I think we have highlighted it. It is in 4I specifically about consider system completeness, and we do have it in the list of measures. So that is a measure that has been raised throughout the scoping phase and will be prominent in the work that we are doing going forward.
I wish the wording wasn't consider, because that does not sound like a commitment to me. It just says, oh, well, let's talk about whether it's, it seems to me to need more of a focused commitment.
And I just want to add to that, this is just the work plan, where this is the basis for starting our work. So we do want to express the objectives clearly, but this is not the time to say this objective is more important than this other. The process itself will have to see where we land, and you will all be part of that.
We can change consider to evaluate to be more direct, if that would be adequate. Mayor Knapp.
That paragraph is so overloaded, and we've now added climate change to an already diverse set of objectives contained within one paragraph. I think it's getting kind of mushy. Um, I don't know if I can wordsmith it on the spot, but you know, it seems to me like that paragraph might need some rework and separate into a couple of different components instead of trying to roll disparate pieces into one.
It is also highlighted in the beginning of number four on page two that it that we want to develop a holistic alternative mobility policy and associate measures for the region that focuses on system completeness for all modes and system and demand management activities to serve planned land uses. And then, you know, there's the more detail. So I do, so I don't know if that is adequate, but we really have tried to weave system completeness in a prominent way through this.
Well, I hope that's true, since the motion is on the table as it's currently worded. I did not draw from the wording the same commitment level that I hear you verbally expressing, and that worries me a little bit.
I just wanted to add a little bit to Kim and Levine.
Can you speak directly into it?
I just wanted to add a little bit to Kim and Levine's comments and emphasize that this work plan is developed from all the input that's been received from many of you and from your staff and from other voices around the region. And the work going forward will determine which measures are actually practical and possible to measure, as well as consideration of how to prioritize them and present the information and findings. So I think today it's helpful to hear kind of where people are in terms of priorities and preferences, but there will be continued conversation to outline that as we move forward. This isn't adopting any sort of priority order of the measures. It's just one, we want to make sure that everything that needs to be considered is outlined and on the table for the work as we move forward.
Councilor Eccles?
I appreciate all of the work and input that's gone into this, going back to Mayor Knapp's. If there's no reason not to, just like greenhouse gases and equity, is there a reason why we couldn't just go ahead and call that out as an additional? And I'd be happy to amend my motion if that would answer your concerns, Mayor.
A friendly amendment. Mr. Warder, would you second that?
Yes.
Okay. So there's been a motion on the table from Councillor Eccles, seconded by Mr. Warner, to add and make sure that included in the work plan is an emphasis on equity, CO2 emissions, and completeness of the system. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for the suggestions. Okay, we're
so
going to...
that was a motion to amend, not the final...
No, my original motion was to approve it
with
so amendments.
You modified the amendment. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to item 6.1. This is resolution number 19-5047 for the purpose of amending the 2019-20 Unified Planning Work Program to add funding for the Clackamas Corridor Management, Emerging Technology, and Boom Bridge projects. And so we have before us is Mr. Merman. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning, JPAX. What I'm holding here in my hand is the 2019-20 Unified Planning Work Program that you adopted last spring. This is, again, where we document all federally funded, regionally significant planning projects in the region. Legislative amendments to the UPWP don't happen that often, since we do update it every year. We usually catch any new projects or changes to existing projects then. When changes do occur during the year, we have a $200,000 threshold. Changes below that amount can be handled administratively. That said, every so often we do have some legislative amendments. The ones in your packet are the Clackamas Connections Integrated Corridor Management Project led by Clackamas County, the Emerging Technology Implementation Study led by Metro, and the I-5 Boone Bridge Widening Seismic Retrofit and Interchange Improvement Study led by ODOT. These amendments are going to be brought forward to you during your consent agenda in December. There was a fourth amendment request relating to the Corridor Bottleneck Operation Study, known as CBOS-2, which a JPAC member asked to be considered separately and will be part of your regular agenda in December. The presentation you received on that project last month serves as your informational item on that one. The sequence of action you'll be taking next month is to vote on the UPWP amendments first, and then a subsequent MTIP amendment. And the reason why we do this is that the first vote adds the planning activities to our annual work program, and the second vote enables the funds to actually be spent, just to give you a heads up about why we ask for UPWPs followed by an MTIP amendment for these projects. And that's what I had to present today, and I'd love to open it up to any questions you have.
Okay, any questions or comments regarding the UPWP?
So how do I do this?
Councilor Stacey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have red means on.
Red means on.
We don't
I
know
can't
why.
See the letter or the colors. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to speak directly into the microphone, too. I have comments and, I guess, a question for ODOT. I'm not putting you on the spot, Mandy, about the Boone Bridge portion of the agenda. The project is, in its essence, very sensible. We're trying to make a better connection between the Charbonneau district of Wilsonville to the rest of the city by facilitating the southbound movement with improvement to the exit that would serve Charbonneau. It also is improving access to the state highway that runs down to Aurora and serves the Aurora Airport area. And I mention the Aurora Airport area because that's the current tension point in a quiet battle that's been going on for 20 years about, can't we have some more development along I-5, you know, warehousing, distribution, down French Prairie? Because there it is, sitting there, so close to the Portland market. The Aurora Airport Master Plan, as I understand, is considering creating opportunities for outside the airport footprint economic development activity. So back in April, our staff wrote comments on this planning process for this improvement, asking whether the land use implications of making expansions, however modest, to the capacity of the Boone Bridge, is consistent not only with our regional land use plan, which designates everything south of the river, except Charbonneau, of course, as a rural reserve, up to Clackamas County's jurisdiction. That joint approval by the Metro Council and Clackamas County of the rural reserve designation was intended to send a strong signal reinforcing the protection of the French Prairie agricultural area. If others are seeking to begin development strategies or pursue additional development strategies just south of Clackamas County, and this exit serves a local state highway, which is also, you know, a cutoff for I-5 traffic headed north from Salem. I'm concerned about whether that has an implicit nod toward acknowledging and even facilitating future development that would be inconsistent with the statewide land use planning program and certainly inconsistent with our regional growth management strategy. So my question, sorry for the long windup, is will the study, as Metro requested back in April, also include analysis of potential land use impacts and potential mitigation of induced demand or other characteristics of this project?
This is a slightly different piece of work. I think the work that you were talking about is the Wilsonville facility plan.
You're too sophisticated for me, Mandy. I'm just concerned about this.
I'm not sure, but my guess is that you're referring to the Wilsonville facility plan. This work is directly related to House Bill 5050 and a request from the state legislature to move forward and provide more information about what it could cost to seismically improve the Boone Bridge and related interchanges. So this is a preliminary study which will result in a range of costs for doing those improvements. It is only $300,000 that we have
it's
allocated.
It's not going to build the lane, obviously.
This is a small, additional incremental work to understand kind of structural issues and feasibility and what would be required so that we end up with a cost range and more information to add for conversation. This is not a corridor plan. It's not a land use plan. It really is to meet the request that came from the legislature.
Well, thanks for that clarification. I sometimes find myself drafted into going to Salem and having conversations about good ideas, like taking the so-called Red Barn site in Clackamas County in the Ruhr Reserve and converting it to an industrial or other development site because, you know, there was a barn there once. This kind of consistent pressure from certain folks in the legislature is part of the background noise that we have to deal with in trying to implement and maintain both the regional land use plan and the state's plan for agricultural land preservation in the Willamette Valley. So my antennae will always be out on this issue. I don't want to lend encouragement to those who keep trying to change the plan between here and Woodburn. And this has nothing to do with the mayor's understandable desire to make his city better connected. Thank you.
Mayor Knapp.
Thank you. I'm mostly in agreement with my friend and colleague, Mr. Stacy, on this. And I think that if you look at the record, you will find the city of Wilsonville has been one of the leaders in trying to adhere to the land use laws and the urban development boundary on the south edge. We're currently on an appeal LUBA or DLCD about one aspect. We have filed an intervener in court to preserve our position to oppose the expansion of the airport without what we perceive to be a process that meets the state statutes on land use. It seems problematic to us from multiple standpoints, not the least of which is using some 50 acres of farmland for development that's essentially urban development outside the airport current boundary. How to have that discussion and enable all stakeholders to have to be participants in the discussion before a decision is reached is important to us, and certainly the question of urban growth beyond the urban boundary is significant. Marion County is not part of the reserves process, as Mr. Stacy knows, and most of you probably do also. Their approach is somewhat different in that county than in the counties of the metro area. So I think it is important that we talk about the land use implications. At the same time, not only is the Wilsonville I-5 facilities plan meant to ease access to the Charbonneau residents that are in the urban growth boundary as part of Wilsonville, but also to enable southbound freeway flows to not come to a grinding halt at the Boone Bridge with such regularity almost every day nowadays. And the study that we jointly did with ODOT indicated that that facility plan would be the most practicable, doable way of accomplishing that, and would in fact change forecasted speeds, and Ms. Putney, I can't remember, in 10 years or 20 years or something, from what was forecast to be 25-mile-an-hour average on I-5 to like a 45 or 50-mile-an-hour average for the through lanes. So we're trying to not completely bring the freeway to a halt for, you know, everybody that's traveling southbound, including both commercial and personal vehicles. So it's a balance, and I think Wilsonville and Clackamas County have been at the forefront of working to maintain the objectives I hear Councillor Stacy voicing. I do think that this work plan piece, as directed by the legislature, is a necessary piece precedent to any idea of being able to move forward with that facilities plan, though they're not exactly the same. So I think it's appropriate.
Thank you.
Thank you both for your explanations.
Well, thank you for your comments. Are there any other comments? So I guess the question is, does any member of this committee want to request ODOT to bring anything back to us at the December 19th meeting regarding this? And we can vote on it at that time, or we can...
There's no action today.
Yeah.
There's no action today. It will be
right
back before us for that action.
So there's no specific request of ODOT regarding the December 19th meeting. Just want to clarify.
Not that I'm offering today.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Don very much. Appreciate your presentation. Thank you for your comments. Okay, we are now going to move on to the next item. This is the discussing the 2022-24 Regional Flexible Fund Allocation Funding Package options. Dan Kemp last month shared the outcomes and the next steps for the Regional Flexible Funds work, including a brief overview and the risk assessment that was conducted by Kittleson and Associates. Those updates included the upcoming next steps toward a JPAC proposal to Metro, and we'll be doing that in December. And then the Metro Council will take action in January. So today Dan is here to brief us on the preferred approach to develop TPAC's funding recommendation for the Step 2 part of the RFFA. This will set the stage for the December 6th TPAC meeting to develop their recommendation to JPAC, and JPAC is then scheduled to take action on the TPAC recommendation at our December 19th meeting. And so this will be an important meeting that we all need to attend. So JPAC's recommendation then will be provided to the Metro Council for the Metro Council's consideration in January. So, Mr. Kemp,
okay.
It's all yours.
Thank you very much, Chair Craddock. Good morning, everyone. So we are preparing for next month's action item on selecting a package of projects to be funded through the Regional Flexible Funds. And so I wanted to make you aware of a few updates to the project information that is available to you as you make this decision. And then we have also received this week the indication of priority projects from the three county coordinating committees in the City of Portland. That I want to brief you on briefly as well. And then we've also been working with TPAC on developing a preferred option for how we present a recommendation to you next month, and so I will walk you through that as well. So first of all, in the risk assessment report, we gave the applicants an opportunity to respond to that report on how they would respond to the risk findings in the report. We received three updates from the cities and projects that you see here on the screen, Forest Grove, Milwaukee, and Tigard's Red Rock Creek Trail project. So we've updated the risk assessment report, and that's now available online on the RFFA website with that additional information as well. Also, when we presented last month, the public comment report had not yet been finalized. That has been completed, and that is also available on the RFFA webpage, as you see there on the screen. I'll just note that we received over 3,000 responses through the public comment outreach period. For all of the projects in people's response to an online survey, all of the projects had over 50% of the people responding indicated their support for the projects. So we've illustrated that strength of the support in the updated project matrix that's included in your materials today. There's further detail, including specific responses to projects, comments that people made that are available in the report as well, if you care to look at that as you're making your considerations here. And then in your materials today, we compiled the information that we received from each of the county coordinating committees in the City of Portland. They weighed in with the indication of which projects that they wish to be considered for prioritization in the funding discussion. So included in the materials are letters from each of the four coordinating committees in the City of Portland, as well as one-page descriptions of all of the projects. So it's easier to compare what the project outcomes and benefits are with each other.
I see a lot of people shuffling their papers. The coordinating committee letters have Clackamas County on top. It's a thick packet, just to share everybody. But it's not just Clackamas County. Everyone's letters are stapled together.
Right.
There's a pile.
Yeah. Okay.
Gave me some homework to do.
Yeah.
So I'll just briefly go through each of the indicated priorities here, just to summarize this. First of all, Clackamas County indicated that the Monroe Street Greenway project from the City of Milwaukee and the Courtney Avenue Bike and Pedestrian Improvements project from Clackamas County were their priorities for consideration in the active transportation category. And in the freight category, they indicated that the Clackamas County Industrial ITS project was their top priority. They also requested that the Highway 99 project from Oregon City and the Trolley Trail project from Gladstone be considered in the freight category based on option 2 that we'll get into in just a minute. But that was an additional part of their indication of priorities. Multnomah County indicated that the Division Street project submitted by the City of Gresham was their top priority in the active transportation category. And in the freight category, the Sandy Boulevard project submitted by Multnomah County was their top priority. They also indicated that there was the opportunity to do project development for both Multnomah County projects, 223rd Avenue and Sandy Boulevard, were funding to be awarded through the Multnomah or through the through the freight category to Sandy Boulevard. The City of Portland ranked their priority projects thusly. The Stark Washington Corridor was number one, 122nd Avenue second, Willamette Boulevard third, MLK Boulevard fourth, and the Cully Columbia Alderwood Intersection Improvement Project was their fifth priority. And they also indicated in their letter that there was a potential for cost savings in both the MLK and the Cully projects, indicating that perhaps those projects could be funded at a lower amount based on, or a lower amount than what they had originally requested. And Washington County indicated that in the active transportation project, the Council Creek Trail project from Forest Grove, the Aloha Safe Access to Transit project from Washington County, and the Bull Mountain Road project from the City of Tigard were their top three priorities. In the freight category, the Blake Street project in Sherwood, Cornelius Pass Bike Pedestrian Bridge from Washington County, and the Red Rock Creek Trail project from Tigard were their top three priorities for consideration in the freight category. And then they also provided additional project factors for several of their projects that they wish to be considered in the discussion as well. And again, there's more detail in all of the letters, so I'm just summarizing this for you here today. So I want to just go over the TPAC discussion that we had earlier this month. We brought two funding package approaches to TPAC this month, and these are included in your materials today. There's option one and option two. We briefed TPAC on these two options, and just to give you a quick summary, option number one really illustrates a funding scenario that follows the technical ratings and looks at the project funding categories with projects in those categories that the applicants themselves had indicated that they wished their projects to be considered in. And we put the Multnomah County projects into the freight category due to there being a shortfall of funding and projects in that category. TPAC indicated their preference, though, was for option number two. And I'll give you a little bit more description on that one. Option two moves additional projects from the active transportation category into the freight category. In doing this, we looked at projects in the active transportation category to see if there were projects that could be considered in both categories. As you'll recall, one of the safety policy objectives that we adopted last spring is to look at projects that remove conflicts between active transportation and freight modes. So we looked for additional projects in the active transportation category that were on or adjacent to roads that are also on the regional freight network. And so we found there were five projects that met that criteria. And as you look at option number two here, you'll see they're highlighted in blue in the freight category here. We had a conversation with TPAC about that, and they agreed with that approach and indicated that that was their preference for using this model to work on a draft recommendation for discussion in their December meeting. And one of the things that we found just in the way that this this option was illustrated is that it gives us the ability to fund both more projects overall, and the technical rating overall, the projects that we fund, is raised as well. And it also addresses the issue of there being a low number of projects that were originally submitted for consideration in the freight category. So option number two is the starting point for TPAC's recommendation that will be coming back to you next month. But I should emphasize that it's only a starting point. There will be further modifications to it that are based on these additional policy considerations. We need to ensure that the recommendation fulfills our policy intent that we've adopted for the regional flexible funds and through the RTP. There's also the opportunity to make adjustments to the requested funding amounts to help balance the package. That can be based either on findings through the risk assessment or through other identified cost savings that the applicants themselves could put forward. And then there's also the consideration of the priorities that have been indicated today by the county coordinating committees and the City of Portland. And TPAC will need to weigh that as well in their deliberations and their assembly of a final recommendation to you next month. So we will be back here next month to discuss and take action on TPAC's recommendation. Assuming that a package of projects moves forward out of our discussion here next month, Metro Council is scheduled to take action on the JPAC-approved package of projects on January 16. And so with that, I'll open it up for discussion.
Okay, comments, questions? Councillor Eccles.
Thank you, Chair. Dan, thank you. A couple questions. On the level of public support and the ratings there, question I have is, do we know where those came from? Are they broken down by zip code of the respondent or city?
There's further information on the demographics in the public comment report.
I think that that would be useful because of skewed number of responses based on where people live. If I'm in Gresham, I may or may not be really supportive of something in Clackamas County, but I sure know what I want in Gresham. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that we should rely on those as just an equal measure across the way. And then, obviously, I'm going to make a push for Gresham as a Division Street project. We are under that magic line in the recommendation, and the Multnomah County 223rd Avenue project is also under the magic line. So to me, if these are regional funds, we need to have more of a conversation about whether or not this option presented to us actually reflects regional improvements. I don't think that it does. And then the other part is that the Division Street Complete project is a critical component for the bus rapid transit project that is underway right now. The area that this is targeted to is not a safe corridor. There are no sidewalks. There are no bike paths. It is right in the heart of the community right across from the Civic Station. And without having that completed, the bus rapid transit portion in that area is not going to be fully realized. People currently don't walk along there because it's not safe, so we don't have a lot of crash data because people know better than to walk along there. I've walked along there. It's very scary. And so we need to make that area safer so that the vision of the bus rapid transit and service in East County is fully realized. So I'm going to fight hard to keep that on the agenda and ask that people consider that as well.
Mr. Warner.
Thank you. First, I just want to thank the staff for all the work they did on this. I know that it's been a long slog, but certainly I appreciate the way you looked at the criteria in terms of mobility and climate and all the equity, all the issues you looked at. So really appreciate that. In terms of what the folks from Gresham said, and Dan indicated that we were willing to take a look at some of the projects that we've been working on in terms of getting some additional funding. And so we're hoping to identify somewhere between $1 and $2 million that we could bring back to the table. And certainly we would support work on the Division Street, the connector, because of the BRT project and how important that is. So in terms of in the spirit of cooperation and trying to work with our partners, we would like to advocate the work that they've done in Gresham. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stacey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And at the risk of sounding like I'm piling on, my experience along with you on the Vision Transit project taught me that Councillor Eccles is 100% accurate about the very dangerous conditions where the hill comes down to Division Street. And while I need to remain impartial in all these decisions, firsthand knowledge suggests that that is a very high priority safety and accessibility investment.
Thank you. Mr. Kelsey.
We'll all pile on too. So we'll all feel good. I do want to also thank the City of Portland for helping in some bridging some of this importance. I think this is also important is for us at TriMet, we're really wanting to get to 100% physically transit accessible system. And to me, this is part of that Division Transit leveraging. And if we're going to remove the barriers so people get around faster, quicker, and the barriers to ease of access, I think this example of Councilor Eccles is a really important one. And I think it's leveraging all those dollars together. If you need to get one chance at it, if not, it passes you by. So I really would triple down, if you will, on the conversation. So thank you.
Ms. Moog.
Good morning. I'd like to echo what Mr. Warner had to say around ways that we could find efficiencies in projects and find savings and dedicate that toward the Division project. It is a really valuable project for the sake of workforce access, et cetera. The second comment I had is just broadly speaking about the RFIF process as it relates to freight funding. Excuse me, but my voice is a little scratchy this morning. Option two does make sense as we're tasked with thinking holistically about transportation funding. It's the best way to maximize the use of these dollars. That being said, I think that as we think about other funding opportunities for freight, we should recognize that RFIF is not it is not the best tool for thinking about freight improvements. Freight improvements don't typically come in chunks of $3 and $4 million. They're much larger scale projects. So I just want to, it's a little bit of stating the obvious, but I think that there's value in it to understand that what we can't do here, we should think about other opportunities to do it in the other funding conversations that we're in. Thank you.
Thank you. Renee?
Thank you. We also, from Clackamas County cities, think that the option two makes sense in a lot of ways. You will notice that under option two, we've got three potential projects that have cropped up there. The interesting dynamic is as to the active transportation portion, in which the technical rating for Westlands Highway 43 multimodal came up extremely high. In the prior round of this same funding, the Monroe Street Greenway in Milwaukee came up near the top in Clackamas County with the technical ratings. The city of Milwaukee voluntarily, in our group, stepped back, and we did not advance the Monroe Street Greenway in the 19 to 21 round because of local considerations. So we essentially had a negotiations where they agreed to defer. Now we come up and the technical rating does not put them on here at all. We have had at our Metro subcommittee of our C4 group a intensive discussion, and Highway 43 received funding in the prior round of this funding, and in deference to Milwaukee and the action they took a couple years ago, Wes Lynn has said, we are willing to step back and wait our turn for the next funding. So it's a little odd because the regional priorities show one thing, as they did 2 years ago, and the county meeting, the coordinating committee, you know, had a different feel about it. So I'm hopeful that just as happened 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever it was that we were doing this, that the TPAC will honor the agreements that are coming out of the cities in the county and saying, even though Highway 43 is rated in the funding this time, they got funding last time, they're willing to hold back and wait for other future funding through other channels. But that's kind of contingent on, okay, these other projects get to come in. We don't want to be completely left off the list in Clackamas County. And that would imply then bringing Monroe Street Greenway in where it had not been rated nearly as high by the regional technical staff. So I'm lobbying and I'm requesting at the same time, I guess, that the coordinating committee recommendation be given maybe more weight than the technical numerical analysis because of these other factors that are not really reflected there. And I'm hopeful that that might be the outcome.
Thank you, Mayor. I recognize that the coordinating committee's recommendations are very important and they are highly valued, so I appreciate that emphasis on that. Councillor Eccles?
Mayor Knapp reminded me through the conversation that, and I think the point you make is really critical. Division Street had the same scenario 2 or 3 years ago. I wasn't here, but Division Street project, as what Mayor's talking about, was rated very high, and there was, if not a handshake, there was some sort of conversation about this time as well, recognizing that it is a regional priority. So I think that, and Chair, you said it as well, the local coordinating committees know their communities better than anyone, and they put their sweat equity into these decisions as well. So I concur that we need to make sure that those are really honored and listened to. Otherwise, why are they there?
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Stacey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's probably my duty as one of the regional representatives on this NPO to remind all my colleagues that the federal government frowns on sub-allocation formulas that assign a certain percentage of these funds to a particular geography. But I find myself very persuaded by the value of the Monroe Street project and the reminder, the timely reminder of the mayor of Wilsonville about the thoughtful process that occurred in the last round that resulted in advancing the West Lynn project with strong support from the Clackamas membership of the region. That won't decide my vote, but it will certainly influence my vote. So if our technical staff and TPAC have arguments against that, I'd like to know about those because I think the Monroe Street project looks intuitively like a very valuable active transportation project. And all politics and side agreements aside, I think there's some some justice that would be served.
So let me, I think I just want to make sure I address what's going to happen between this J-PACT and the next J-PACT. So we're all clear on how these important recommendations from the coordinating committee fold in. So what we have not done on the sheets provided for you, I'm hearing consensus that option two is the way to go, which is what the advice of TPAC is. So now that we see head nods, we'll go forward with option two. We have not completely applied the risk analysis. So one technical step is to, again, address scope issues. So we've heard some talk today about some projects maybe being scaled down to project development funds. We're going to look at opportunities to do that. The second thing we're going to do is look for leverage opportunities. Thank you, Director Warner, for offering some leverage opportunities. So we'll do that. And then third, the most important step is to incorporate our feedback both today and from the coordinating committees. What that will look like is different options that go forward to TPAC and JPAC. So you will again have a, so this is option two of the first step, and then we'll come back with some other options to look at. And you will bring those to TPAC. I suggest that you work closely with your TPAC representative between now and December 19th so you're seeing the materials that we're putting out for you to consider, and then you'll vote on a package on December 19th. But the coordinating committee's direction will be reflected in some of those options.
Thank you. Mr. Rogers.
Not too late for a deal, Roy.
Sorry.
What's the offer? A couple of things.
Can you speak into the microphone, please? You have to.
It won't help.
She won't share. A couple of three things. One, thank you, Margie, for a little more explanation on how the process will go forward. Very, very confusing on a sub-allocation. I understand we had problems in the last round, and so we don't want to do that. But as we prioritize, at least we did in Washington County, it's hard to prioritize when you don't know the money and the allocations. It was very difficult. So we broke it down, as you can see, into the active transportation and also the freight, which brings me to my second point. The freight, that's some kind of mirrors and smoke. We thought it had to do with ECDEB and a lot of other things, but it appears that we're putting active transportation projects in there as well. So I think we need a little bit of definition of what we're talking about. I mean, everybody can make that nexus. So do something with that so we understand, if we can understand what kind of money. And just for my edification, this is for our Gresham folks, I was here. There's a few of us who were here 3 years ago. I'm completely confused on what's happened on division. We, at a little bit of great expense, supported division, thought it was the most important project. And Gresham sat here, and about this far from my nose, as well as others, argued that Cleveland was the only project they wanted. They didn't care about division. And I don't know what happened, and I think there was good work of some Metro staff that brought that to a conclusion. But it looks like we're seeing the same thing all over again with one Cleveland and now division. So I'm confused on the priorities. I think it needs to be spelled out. For some of us who aren't quite as intimate, and I'm not picking on you, you weren't here 3 years ago, but when we were told that that wasn't something we really wanted, and we all argued that it was a critical, critical project for the transit, and only to see it come back 3 years later and say, but this is wonderful. That's a very mixed message. So.
Well, and thank you, Commissioner. You're right, I wasn't here. I would like to offer to bring up a staff person to answer who has the better information about that to answer that question, because I would probably get you more confused.
I don't think I need an answer other than I think we need to understand what allocations you got for Cleveland and how that played into now running division as well. We're completely supportive of division. We think it's a transit-related activity. But I'm confused what happened in there, and so some history might help.
History might help, and I think
your point and Emerald's point are well taken, that it's time in the next allocation, not this allocation, but in the next round, to really revisit this freight bucket, because I think your point is well taken that it's not functioning as intended. So noted. It won't happen between now and December 19th, but it will be noted and worked on for the next allocation fund for regional flux funds.
Thank you for that clarification. Are there any comments or questions at the table? Dan, do you have any comments? Oh, Mr. Kelsey, excuse me.
I was just going to echo actually what Mr. Rogers was saying around the clarity, so I think it's very helpful. And also, as we have always the inevitable competing for really good ideas for funding, I think, Margie, you raised a really good point that triggered for me is around the risk side of things. Often when we allocate funds, they get put in blocks because we actually don't know enough. And I just know when we deal with capital a lot as well, I would just encourage us to go and re-scrub some of those allocated numbers because often I call diving for dollars. We can obviously free up things. We have the risk profiles, contingencies. There's often a lot of money when you aggregate of groups of projects. You may be able to find another project, in fact, may be able to make it. So not just to accept always the block numbers that get put in at face value. So.
Thank you. Learned through our TIP process and our TIP manager, Ted Leopold, here, he's nodding his head, that the numbers put in the grant aren't always what ends up being. And so this year, for the first time in the application, we asked a lot of questions about risk, and we hired a consultant team to do a risk analysis. It's the first year we've ever done that, but I think it will serve us well, and we have our own self-interest of seeing projects go through the TIP process without amendments if necessary. So thank you. We're doing just that.
Good suggestions and good comments. Thank you. So, Dan, do you have anything you wanted to say?
No, nothing further. I would encourage you to work with your TPAC representatives and have conversations with each other as we're preparing a recommendation to bring back to you next month.
Well, thank you very much. So we are targeting, we targeted today to be done at 8:45. We are going to do it. And so our next meeting is December 19th. We will be voted on the RFFA package. So we need you all in attendance. The meeting is adjourned.